Hi, good morning. Thanks for attending the talks this morning. As Gerald mentioned, this is also a water use slash drought tolerance study that we're doing in Texas, but this is in Dallas at Texas AgriLife Urban Solutions Center. And of course, some of the issues that Dr. Henry mentioned are occurring all across the United States and the world. And a lot of this is triggered by, in our area, rapidly growing urban populations. And this is putting tightening demands on water supplies. And of course, this produces, as people begin to conserve, the cost of water goes up. So a lot of these things are combining to make drought tolerance research and finding varieties of grass that are require less water very important. Seasonal droughts come into play as well, and of course in Dallas we're under 2-day week water restrictions, and I know that's the case in a lot of larger urban areas, and to this point there haven't been a lot of large-scale comparative drought performance data studies over the range of turf grass species. Real quickly, we know that this is a very important topic. The turf grass producers of Texas did a member survey a few years back, and they listed drought tolerance as being their key issue of importance to them and as they see of their members and clients. And so this is obviously very important to us as well. The objectives of this project were to compare for 20 turf grass varieties comparative performance across the linear gradient of irrigation and try as best as possible to come up with some minimal irrigation requirements for these species and varieties in our study. Also to look at the impacts of cultural management, specifically mowing heights and nitrogen fertility, and how they may enhance drought tolerance of some of these varieties. And finally, look at the impacts of energy balance and reflective heat loads as we begin to scale back on our water use. This study is a 3-year study that was has been performed at the Texas AgriLife Research Center in Dallas, Texas. It's a very large study. It's 2.1 acres. And in the fall of 2007, the plots were established. In 2008, we deemed as a training period where the plots were trained in at their specific mowing heights and nitrogen fertilities and given a chance to establish under optimal irrigation levels. And then in 2009 and 2010, we took data on the plots, which I'll present this morning. The study's a randomized complete design. Complete block design, 20 varieties, 2 cutting heights, and 2 nitrogen fertility levels. I apologize if the font on these is a little smaller, but real quickly, as I present these tables, the first two are going to be our Bermuda grasses, which in the first group we see at the top, we called these our lawn-type Bermuda grasses. These included Common, Rhymes EXP, which is an experimental out of Texas, Tifton 10. The sports type are the next group, sports type Bermuda grasses, and we included were Celebration, Premier, Tiff Sport, 419. And then we had the next group 3 and 4 are Zoysia grasses. We have 4 Japonica types, El Toro, Empire, Jammer, and Palisades. And group 4 are the Matrella type Zoysias. They included Cavalier, Emerald, Xeon, and Zorro. Then we had tall fescue, the lone cool season species, which is grown in our area. Buffalo grass, we had 609 and Prairie. And finally, St. Augustine grass, Common and Raleigh. Each of these was managed at kind of a low and high end of end fertility as well as mowing heights. Real quickly, the linear gradient irrigation system. You may have seen some talks that utilized this system in the past. It is a triple row irrigation system during establishment, but as the study is begun, The two outer rows of irrigation are shut off, and only the center row operates. The heads in this center row are spaced at a third of the throw distance to create excessive overlap. And what this does is creates kind of a uniform diminishing distribution of water as you move out away from that center trench, as we call the irrigation line in the center. The plots are very large. They're 18 by 65 feet. And that allows us to, as those are placed side by side, you can look down the gradient running parallel to the center trench and see how these perform comparatively with one another. We scheduled irrigation on these plots based on the center trench, and we would irrigate twice a week to coincide with municipal water restrictions that homeowners would face. And we would irrigate to replace 120% of reference ET at the center trench. And of course, we accounted for rainfall. This is just a look down the center trench, and you can see the grass varieties on both sides of this trench. And this is early summer. You can see a wilt line out there about two-thirds of the way out the plots. We do catch can collections just to verify our distribution just about every month of the year of the growing season. And it follows a little more of a sigmoidal shape. Whereas as you move out from the trench here, the distribution drops off at about 48 feet. From 48 to 65 feet, there's no irrigation, so that area of the plots only receives rainfall. And this is kind of what it looks like as you're looking out from the center trench on a plot. On the right, you see buffalo grass. On the left, you see tall fescue. And what this happens to be is we have four collection points at 15, 30, 45, and 60 feet. And this turns out to result in over 1,000 data collection points each time someone goes out and measures one parameter. So it's an enormous amount of data that were collected. But I'm gonna present some data that will pertain to these relative irrigation levels at 82, 28, 5% of ETO, and no irrigation, and how these grasses performed at these levels. This was taken late summer on Lygus, and you get a glimpse of how this study looks late summer as turf grass quality declines as you move out to those lower irrigation levels. What you also see is that you can quickly see some of the comparative performance of some of these varieties as you go out across that gradient. Some of the parameters I'll present today will primarily be turf quality, canopy temperature, and that's going to be about it for today. But these are the parameters that we measured in this study. 2009, 2010. 2009 was a pretty typical summer. We had a wet spring. And generally in both years, as we got to the end of the summer, we got some very intense droughts. These are sort of the dates where we collected of the data that I will present today. And these will represent what I'll call early summer and late summer. ETO typically is going to go from about 0.2 to 0.35 inches per, 0.2 to 0.35 inches per day in this study throughout the growing season. And that's so you see that the conditions are pretty extreme here. And as we get into these peak summertime periods, we're approaching 100 degrees and oftentimes exceeding 100 for multiple days at a time. Soil moisture generally range from 40%, 45% in these blackland soils down to about 10 to 15%. We didn't see a big difference between varieties because we were measuring at the 3-inch depth. I'm sure if we went deeper, we would begin to see some differences, but the first year, June 2009, again, this was more of a typical summer. As we were moving into the summer, one of the things that stands out here, and if you look at this table, if you imagine this is our trench on the right side. So as you move out from the trench, you go from 82 all the way out to unirrigated. And the areas I have shaded represent acceptable quality. And real quickly, you see that both Matrella and Japonica zoysias, as well as the sports type Bermudas, did very well. And as we would expect, the buffalo grass. The lawn type Bermudas did not perform as well coming out of spring into the early summer period. And as we got into the late summer, again, this would have been following more periods of little rainfall, higher temperatures, higher ET. What we see is a little more separation in these varieties. And specifically, we see that the buffalo grass actually had acceptable quality all the way out to unirrigated areas of the plot, which may or may not be surprising. And also the Matrella-type zoysias, Cavalier and Emerald, were acceptable even in non-irrigated areas of plots. And also the TIF 419 and TIF Sport as well. Tall fescue did not achieve acceptable quality even at 82% of ETO, which would stand to reason. That would be probably a deficit level of irrigation for that variety. St. Augustine grass required 82% of ETO to maintain acceptable quality in late summer 2009. Canopy temperatures, very interesting observations here. Really no statistical difference between fully irrigated and non-irrigated plots of buffalo grass, which was quite remarkable. Probably lends itself to the fact of a deep root system, lower ET rate, probably conserving soil moisture, maintaining a stable transpiration rate there. The same occurred here with Celebration Bermuda grass. So we're analyzing root samples right now down to 24 inches, and we're hoping that will explain some of this. And then in 2010, again, the Bermuda grass sports types and both zoysia grasses did well to down to unirrigated levels, as well as buffalo grass. But we had a very severe winter, and the St. Augustine grass came out of the winter very poorly, and that explained its low quality there. I'm going to skip ahead to late summer. Late summer was our most intense drought period. We had about 6 weeks with no rain, over 100 degree temperatures, and ET rates that were approaching a half inch a day for about a week or two. And this is, I think, probably the most important slide I can show, that all of these grasses, when they're irrigated 2 days a week, required 82% of ETO to maintain acceptable quality, with the exception of the Japonica-type zoysias, specifically Empire and Palisades, and TIF Sport, TIFway 419, and Celebration. Even buffalo grass required 82% of ETO at that point. It was a very stressful period, and I was a little bit surprised to see buffalo grass require that as well. I'm just going to real quick jump ahead here and give you what 2010, late summer at that stressful period. This pretty much represents what we saw in 2009. If I were to rank these grasses on their drought performance, in the late summer, the Japonica type zoysias and the sports type Bermuda grasses had the best quality as irrigation was diminishing. You could probably group the Matrella zoysias, lawn type Bermudas, buffaloes, and St. Augustine grass into the next group, and of course tall fescue ranked lowest, had no acceptable quality, even under 82% of ETO. And finally, during moderate drought, which we saw in 2009, a number of species maintained acceptable quality even with no supplemental irrigation. But when we encountered these severe droughts, like we did this past summer, all of the species required at least 28% of ETO, but the Japonica and sports-type Bermuda grasses had the lowest irrigation requirements. What we did see also with regard to nitrogen fertility and mowing heights, didn't see a big effect once water became limiting, but in well-watered portions of the plots, we did see a noticeable increase in quality with increased nitrogen fertility. And again, one of the things with reducing irrigation, we saw substantially greater heat loads in most species. This approached about 30 degrees Fahrenheit increases as you went from fully irrigated to non-irrigated. Pretty substantial. But that was not the case with buffalo grass. And so we're hoping that some of the root data that we take off this will be able to support some of the findings that we've seen here. I think I'm getting low on time, so if you have any questions, I'm not sure if I have time, but I'd be happy to answer more in detail in a little while. So.
Thank you. Thanks, Benjamin. I think just because of time, we probably should hold questions until the break. So let's thank Benjamin.